The winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 4241790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our very good friends at SFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, all you can qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, of course, we're talking World Cup cricket, T20 World Cup. And a special focus on the West Indies side, not doing well at all in the competition, with a victory against Bangladesh. But we know what started it for the West Indies, being all out for 55 against England. And they were soundly beaten by the South Africans, who, by the way, are looking pretty good. And we want to congratulate England. They've looked very, very strong indeed. Pakistan, a good side. The thing about Pakistan is that they're fit. And if there's one thing that we're going to discuss tonight on the show is a core question of fitness, because the reality is that when you look at the Pakistan side a couple of years ago, very unfit side, India very unfit, you know, we also had a situation where the Sri Lankans were unfit, but they've placed a great deal of emphasis on fitness, and you can see it in their cricket, unlike the West Indies, a lot of players who are overweight, aging, and we've seen the major difference in this competition. I'm Andrew Mason, and tonight we've got our co-host, Dr. Andrew Ford. We're going to go, of course, to Dubai and speak to the great Sir Clive Hubert Lloyd, the big cat, Gladstone Small, the former England fast bowler, and of course, very much Bajan is with us as well, and Philo Wallace. We're going to also get some reaction a little bit later on from Derek Murray up in Jamaica, and we also hope to touch base with Dr. Askai Mansingh to talk about the whole question of fitness and as well, we want to touch base with Suraj Raghunath. But without any further ado, let me say hello to Sir Clive. Sir Clive, how are you?
Fine, and do not too bad at all.
Right. Well, I know it's early in the morning, but we want to thank you very much indeed for taking the time out to be with us. We do understand the difference in time, but it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Gladstone Small has joined us as well. And, of course, we've got Philo Wallace. So we're going to speak to you, first of all, Sir Clive. Sir Clive, what have you made of the World Cup so far? England looking very impressive, Sir Clive. Pakistan looking good as well. The West Indies losing their first match and then a tight victory against the Bangladesh side. And, you know, some work for India to do. What are your impressions so far, Sir Clive?
Well, it's been quite exciting. Pakistan and England are the, you know, standout team. They played extremely well. I thought today was very, very, very professional performance by Pakistan. They, you know, they got bogged down early. Mm-hmm. They didn't throw away their wickets as such. Pakistan, all their power play, there were about three or four for over. And then they just sort of blossomed out and batted so well intelligently and got to 180 yards. 190. Because the way they played, and they've been doing that throughout the tournament. I presume that Pakistan do have something to, you know, to say to the world. We're one of the best teams, if not the best team. And nobody's coming to tour in our country. So they're playing extremely well. England is on top of the game at the moment. Nobody seems I think they have a game coming up very soon. Pakistan versus England. I think, if I'm not wrong. And that would be Sir Humdinger. The point is that England again play in the same manner with Pakistan as in the other day. They were down and out, more or less. They were, you know, they didn't have a lot of runs in the power play. They lost 3 wickets. And the captain and Butler, who is Batsman the champion. I think it was one of the finest batsmen around in the world now. We're on the position. So they seem to be very professional. Those guys who are playing proper cricket, intelligent cricket, seem to in that qualifying area. Like, I mean, there again, you have South Africa. They're playing extremely well, but now and then, they sort of walk up the end. They seem to just choke a little bit, and but they don't look like they're doing that this time.
No, not at all.
They're very together.
Yeah,
very together side, and they. Sorry.
I was saying, Sir Clive, that you're right about the South African side. They look very, 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 very good indeed. Hold your horses just a bit, Sir Clive, because when we come back, we want for you to talk about the West Indies. But let's welcome Gladstone Small, Bajan to the bone, a St. George man, I've been told, although we want to claim him in St. Philip. Nice to see you, Gladstone. When last have you been to Barbados? We want to hear you. We want to hear you. You're muted. Yes, to turn it on. All of Barbados, all of the world want to hear you, Gladstone. How are you this evening?
That should be me.
All right. All right. When last have you been to Barbados?
Mate, too long. I would say it was over 5 years now.
Oh, that's a long, long time. Yes, indeed.
Missing God's Island.
I like that. What a description.
Hopefully I'll be there before the year's out, and then obviously fingers very much crossed that the England tour get to happen early part of next year. Obviously, with all this the pandemic that's stricken all over the world and stuff. Hopefully, we can find a way to start living life the way we're meant to.
Yes, indeed, I'm sure you miss being in St. George. You always talk about your grandfather and all the lovely stuff you get when you come to Barbados. That lovely fly and fish and cuckoo, and of course your rice and peas, and your famous sweetbread, and don't forget the SAFE white rum.
You're making me homesick.
In fact, the slogan.
I'll be there tomorrow now.
In fact, the slogan is the best shot of the day. Now, let's talk World Cup cricket. Sir Clive Lloyd is there in Dubai. We've got Philo Wallace, our resident. I almost said DJ, but of course, Philo is a DJ as well. He's also with us with a big smile. What are your impressions of the World Cup so far, Gladstone? Are you happy with the general standard?
Well, it's been a great tournament because it's all very compact. You haven't got time to ease your way into this tournament. You got to hit it from opening ball one over. You can't afford to ease have a day off and ease your way in. So it's been shown that the teams that have come into it with that attitude and just hit the ball, hit the ground running, the likes of England, Pakistan, they're obviously to the fore, whereas the likes of like India are struggling. I think they looked as though they're overcooked from playing a lot of their IPL, which was obviously their big tournament straight into this. They had no time, so they'll overcook the Aussies. Aussies being Australia, they'll come back into it. You can't write them off. But obviously the two teams that are and you know, the West Indies. I mean, they're crikey, geez. I mean. I think if it was 2 years younger, I might have made a West Indies team.
I think so as well. What do you think is the problem with the West Indies side?
I, How long have we got? But listen, for me, picking too many players who've just gone past their sell by date, quite frankly. I mean, I know there's been quite a bit of mileage about what's going on. If the likes of, I mean, listen, and the main Chris Gayle has been a superstar. He has been a box office cricketer.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, no more. His time had gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot play in a tournament like this with such a big handicap. When an icon player who is not just a big name on the field, he's a big name off the field as well. Listen, I've got lots of time for Gayle. He's been a super man, but you got to know when your time has come and gone as well. That's a part of being a champion sportsman.
Mm.
Is you got to know when it's time to vacate the scene. And I fancy this tournament is just one too far, and it's just put much too much pressure and onus onto the rest of the players, and it hasn't been able to cope with it. And hence, I can't see how they can get forward in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has been said about it, but were you surprised that Jason Holder didn't make the 15 member squad? He's up there. Well, he's now on the side because of an injury, but initially, were you surprised that Jason didn't make it in the 15 member squad?
I mean, with Jason Holder's skill as an all around cricketer, and as a leader,
mm-hmm.
of a recent captain, and he's played a lot of high profile cricket recently. For him not to be in the 15 best West Indies white ball cricket team, that I find that astonishing.
Mm.
And that for me smacked of muddled thinking,
mm-hmm.
from the people who selected that squad, quite frankly. I wouldn't know who the selection panel is, to be honest. I'm not that close to West Indies cricket, but to ignore the skill set and what he brings to the team all around,
mm-hmm.
the package he brings. He's played a lot of cricket with and against a lot of these guys. He's a leader. He's cool. He's calm. He bats. He bowls. So for him not to be in the original 50-man squad, I mean that for me would have set a wrong tone right from the outset. And so listen, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that it's very highly unlikely that the West Indies will get through to the next semi-final stage of this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Sir Clive, before we come to Philo, you're there watching the West Indies, you're watching all the players, doing some very good commentary. West Indies would have played against England and against South Africa and Bangladesh. What are your impressions so far of the West Indies side, Sir Clive?
I think they're a bit tired.
Tired?
They look tired.
Ooh.
Yes, because they've been playing here for the last couple of months. They don't look, you know, and they really should be doing much better than they've done at the moment. But I don't know if you've ever walked in the sun here. As it is now, it's punishing. And if you have a certain age and you're not fit, you're not going to do well.
This is it.
And I think that our players just don't look. It's like the Indian team. The Indian team, young, they've got tremendous size, but they just don't look right either. You know, our team, I don't know, they have a very slim chance of qualifying. But to me, they're not playing to their optimum. They the side that we have. I don't think that should do well in this competition. These guys, if you look at how Pakistan started today, They were down 3 points something and all, but they didn't throw their wicket.
No.
They showed true grit. They were determined. They battled it. They battled out a bit. The same thing like England did today, yesterday, the day before yesterday. So the point is that we just need now to regroup and try and get some young men who are interested in playing this T20, tournament. And I hope that they get the right people and we move on from there, because we are not as bad as we have shown in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, stay with us, Sir Clive. Gladstone wants to respond before we go to Philo. Yes, Gladstone?
And Clive makes a very good... So Clive, hope you're well then. I'm sure you're having a wonderful time in Dubai, in the Middle East there. But it makes a good point about tiredness.
Right.
It's incredibly hot, and you can just see just from the guys coming to bowl after one ball.
Yes.
Their shirts soaked. It's a really hot and oppressive humidity. And that's when that happens, and if you're on the back foot in those conditions, it's incredibly hard to feel the energy. If you haven't got energy from the outset of the game,
right,
it's very hard to get energized in the process of the game, particularly when you're playing on the back foot.
Yeah, indeed. Your impressions, Philo Wallace. Let's start with. With the teams that have qualified, you've got England already in the semifinals and Pakistan. Are you surprised by the performance of Pakistan, Philo?
Oh, Andrew. Good evening, Andrew. Sorry. Good evening, Dr. Ford. Sir Clive Lloyd, who is having a good time. Your friend, Dr. Sir Andy Roberts, said hello. He said
yes.
You wouldn't call him.
No, I spoke to Sir Andy yesterday.
It's good to see Gladys. Gladys is the last time we were together, we were at Kia Open. Good to see you, man.
Yes.
Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to your numerous listeners, Andrew, across the region and across the world. Andrew, when you look at the T20 World Cup, I said it a couple of weeks ago, it's a World Cup.
Mm.
And West Indies should not go there to drink milk.
Mm.
Am I surprised at England and Pakistan? No. England has been preparing for this tournament for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
They've kept faith in a guy called Ian Morgan, who struggled, Andrew. Struggled. He struggled through the IPL, he struggled. But yesterday, he found the ally in the T20 game that suited him, 30-something for three. And with Josh Butler at the other end, he then came into form. So they have England have their whole concept right about the T20 game. They have a very good squad. They have depth in this squad in both batting and bowling. And have very good spinners. I look at this guy, Rashid, Andrew. He's getting better and better.
Yes.
He don't bowl a lot of bad balls. He has a lot of confidence. Moeen Ali, we know what he can do. He's just an IPL champion with Chennai Super Kings. So he's full of confidence as well. And when you look at Pakistan, Andrew, we saw a bit of them in the Caribbean in the T20. Remember the rain wreaked havoc in that series. But we saw the class of Baba Azam and Rizwan, Mohammed Rizwan, at the top of the order. And these guys have continued their form. And the West Indies selectors, they are guilty. They need to hold their hands up and say, look, we've made some mistakes here. We pick out-of-form batsmen to go to a T20 World Cup. And as Gladstone said, you have to hit the strap. You have to hit the road running from game one. We were bowled up for 5,700 in that first game, and we have not recovered. Bangladesh gifted us a T20 game. They dropped so many dollies, it's unbelievable for Bangladesh. Normally a pretty decent field inside. We won that game. It's going to be difficult for West Indies to come back. And you cannot take so much senior men on a World Cup tour when the other international teams have young men who are fearless, Andrew. The other international T20 teams in this World Cup are fearless. Those young men are fearless. Sri Lanka are playing good cricket, but getting beat, you know.
Yes, yes.
They're playing good cricket, but they really know matches. When you look at it, South Africa is starting now to come together. They started to understand. And people have certain roles. We in the West Indies team, we still don't know where the roles for the individual players are. And it's quite sad. Yeah, when you look at it, England know who to bowl in the middle overs and who to bowl at the death. Now, Tamal Mills is injured, but somebody will come in and they'll be the death bowler. We struggle to find who is our death bowler. And those are the kind of things that we have not particularly planned well for the T20 World Cup. Mm. And that is where we're falling down, because we have not planned well. Most of our batsmen have played in the IPL on the same surfaces. And they looked at, like they weren't there. We're still juggling with Hetmer and Puran all over the place. We have not settled. So we will find ourselves where we are. And I don't want to go into fitness, Andrew. I had a 3-hour meeting today for Cricket West Indies. And fitness is the bugbear.
Ooh.
And that will be sorted. Because as you rightly said, Andrew, when the Pakistanis can be fitter than West Indies.
Yes, yes, yes.
Something wrong. Yes. We are taking this thing very lightly. It's not light anymore. Everybody has to get fit. As Gadir said, the place is hot. And if you're not fit in a hot country, you're going to suffer.
Yeah. Thanks for your opening remarks. When we come back, Dr. Ford has got some questions, of course, but we're going to pause for a business cause. And, of course, Mason and Guest is brought in association with our very good friends at ASAFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, this is Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason, along with, of course, Dr. Andrew Ford. We've got Philo Wallace, former West Indies, a hard-hitting batsman, of course, Gladstone Small, Barbadian, would have played for England, and former West Indies captain Sir Clive Lloyd all the way in Dubai. My co-host, Dr. Andrew Ford. Hello, Doctor. Nice to see you.
Hi. Thanks, Andrew, and good night to Sir Clive, to Philo, and up and on to Gladstone.
Good night,
I'll start with Gladstone. You know, I've spoken to some friends in the UK, and they've reflected on seeing West Indian teams come to the UK and the way that they practiced. And one comment I got from a friend is that he'd never seen a team practice what we call swiping before in the nets in a game. I just want you to give us some perspective as to what West Indians in the UK are saying to you about the state of our game, especially now with the World Cup being with us.
It's obviously we all know it's where we are in the stock of West Indies cricket. We got Sir Clive Lloyd there, and he would have been obviously the guy at the forefront of the changing fortunes and made them into the world class team that they became for and were for what, 15 plus years or so, and that created a great sense of pride and belonging to the black people here in the UK, and presently as we all know, obviously. There's all of the issues that's been going around. We don't need to go back into that, but it's actually highlighted. It's also brought to the attention in the UK how little has been done or how much the effect that it's had, the numbers. When I used to play first-class cricket in England, and for England, there would have been well over 30, 40 black guys from either, and most of them were actually born in the UK. They're from West Indian parents, but they're all mainly born here. So the numbers were prolific, and that was obviously through the legacy that was put down by that really successful, cavalier, charismatic, hell of a bunch of cricketers, that performed for the West Indies in the periods from, say, like the mid-60s through to about the mid-90s, early 2000s. But now, currently, there's, you know, the big topic is where have they gone? Why has it stopped? Currently, there's only about, there's less than, it's in single figures. There's not double figures of young black cricketers playing even first-class cricket. Far less more. You see, obviously, you get the likes of Jofra Archer and Chris Jordan, obviously, in England. They've brought in Tymo Mills into the fold. But there's only about three or four others who are actually in the county squads, as opposed to, as I said, the 30 or 40. So that's the topic. That's the topic that's actually more prevalent in the UK at the moment, is why and aren't there more black cricketers playing, and how can the game overturn that fall off and get the young black youngsters, you know, boys and girls, here in this country, girls, actually, there's a stat now saying that there's actually more young girls taking up the game of cricket here in the UK than there are young boys. So it's a really, and we have lots of good initiatives happening, but the initiatives which are all done started with personal people taking up a personal baton, that needs to be charged and taken on by the authorities and the establishment and the ECB and the governments, because these are the ones who can make it all happen and make it happen better. And spread the word and spread the love and the playing of the game to everyone, and that's what's happening at the moment up here. So it's not really the West. Obviously, when West Indies come in England, obviously they did a wonderful, they were brilliant when they came up, and it's always great to see them here. They were up last year in the first team that came up. After in the COVID times, and that was a really wonderful thing. And I'm sure the England team will be hopefully repaying that debt to duty, that debt of gratitude when they come to the Caribbean early next year. Because it's important that continues for sure. But yes, lots to be done on the playing field. And also not just at the big international level, but also all the way down through to the grassroots level as well.
Okay. Sir Clive, you played cricket at the highest level. You're one of our greats, but you've been at the Cricket World Cup. Do you think that T20 cricket is changing? I mean, playing the tournament in the UAE now with the larger fields and this emphasis on good quality bowling and noticing all of the best batsmen coming to the fore, is the game changing, and do you like this change in T20 cricket as compared to just, you know, boundary hitting and the way it started out initially?
No, the point is that it has changed in the sense that if you look at how today was a perfect example of how you should be playing this game. In a setting situation, Pakistan, you know, how they charted their name. And England did the same thing the other day when Butler, you know, made that 100. They lost because the only thing that Pakistan didn't lose any wicket, but they were three. The run rate was 3 points. After about 8 overs, they still charted the proper course. They worked things out. When I see the West Indies doing things like that, then I know that our cricket has arrived and that we are really on top of our game. Mm-hmm. We at the moment, we don't look like fast winners. We don't look like I don't know. This attitude, it's a different attitude. We're getting, you know, somebody gets to 50 odd, he wants to carry on like Butler. you know, Ababa Zam and Zaim or whatever his name is. These guys are batting. They're playing really good cricket. I know some people might not like T20, but it is a World Cup. And these guys, they want to win it. They want to do well. And I think the semi-final it will be quite interesting because there's two or three guys, teams, who you know, can qualify. But it's the way they're approaching the cricket. We used to do that. That's how the West Indies got career. Yeah, we can win all those World Cups if you want playing decent cricket. We want to get back to that.
Well, fair point.
I would like to even strengthen Sir Clyde Lord's point. When you look at Rizwan and Babar Azam, they play test match cricket. They play the longer format. They don't play the one format in T20. Josh Butler plays all formats. Only Morgan is pigeonholed into T20, and he struggled until he caught some form the other day. So when you look at it, the players in the batsmen are the ones who play the longer format, who bat, who can build an innings. And Butler said it the other day. He said, look, I'm accustomed batting in the middle, and I'm accustomed batting at the top. So I combine both in the situation he was faced with the other day against Sri Lanka. He said, look, I have to weather the storm here. And once I weather the storm, then I can express my... And that is what he did. He scored a wonderful 100 in serious conditions. And then he came and kept wicket for 20 overs.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
He's fit.
Yeah.
Before even having cramp.
Fitness is the key. Yes, Doc.
Philo, you've been working on the criteria for selection. And I know that stats play a role. The historical or retrospective look, which we depended on heavily for our team, plays a role. Fitness and all sorts of other things. Where do you think... the present group may have got it wrong when they crunched those numbers. Do you think they depended too much on past stats and didn't look at present, or did they not consider fitness enough, or did they not consider age enough, or is it a combination of everything?
I think, Doc, is a combination of everything. I think that when we look at West Indies selection panel, obviously they've made some mistakes. Stats should not be the only criteria for selecting this squad, because some of these guys' stats are poor. Fitness could not be the only criteria, because some of the fitness levels of the players are poor. There have to be another dimension to which, or another ingredient to which, some of these players have been selected. Now, I'm not privy to that, but we are trying to come out with a document that these things will be laid out on the table, and you will not get this kind of I call them funny selections, because you cannot tell me that Jason Holt is the only all-format cricketer in the Caribbean and he can't make a 50-man squad to a World Cup. But then when you pick him, as when he comes in now to replace an injured player, you're saying how good a player he is. I cannot get that understand. Jason Holt must be from Russia. I think that we need, our selectors need to sit down and do a critical analysis of what want for West Indies cricket and make decisions and selections that will make West Indies cricket better and stronger. You cannot tell me that you can go into a World Cup with so much experience and struggling all the time. We found ourselves in the 50 of a World Cup doing the same thing, and we come back now in the T20 and we've done the same thing. And I believe that after all of this, the selection panel should be dismantled.
Well, in fact,
bring people who are going to make selection decisions for West Indies, not for Trinidad and Tobago, Barbados, Jamaica, Guyana. They're all part of West Indies, for West Indies cricket, because the other nations are making decisions. That nation, we are not.
Dr. Ford, I can tell you that I'm told that a recommendation is going to be made for the selectors to be removed. I've got that on good authority. That's what I heard. Sir Clive, would you be surprised if that's the case?
No, it's always that people ask me for that situation, but I don't only think it's selective. the ball has got to be very strong.
Mm.
The players look like, so they want to play for the country. Guys are making money, and the point is, so, and any time you talk about the thing that you're jealous, I can let them know that I'm not jealous of the store. I've done my service.
Mm-hmm.
I've played for my country and gave it my all.
Mm-hmm.
I want these young kids now. If we're going to work up, we should have had 3 weeks of them playing together,
right,
training together, running the team, which is understanding all the little things of our game. I know money is a I keep saying money is a subsidiary of success. I don't mind these guys making money. I want them to make money. That's why we went to Terry Parker, because he said we didn't know what we were worth. These guys have got to show that they work and they want to represent their country, and it's the ultimate.
Right.
Your country comes first.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Your country comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see that. I want to see them playing like they want to win games. They want to be professional, but they're thinking cricket.
Mm-hmm.
They're intelligent. Play. I don't want to see guys just going, giving their hand away and then, you know, knocking it back to the pad and so on. No, I want to see if once you're out there, you're out there. Win the game for your team,
mm-hmm,
and your country. It can be, there's no higher accolade than playing for your country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's very true. Very true, Sir Clive. Let me come back to you, Gladstone. I know you promised us, 20 minutes. Are you ready to go to bed, Gladstone? It's only 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock with you, man. It's 11 o'clock with me.
Yeah, I know, but I'm gonna let you go. No, but I can't let you go unless you talk about the performance of England. They've looked very good, England. Gladstone?
Yes, yeah. Listen, it's obviously the guys. It looks really good so far. As Philo has mentioned, they're very well drilled and practiced. Mm. Obviously, they're the reigning 50-over World Cup champions,
mm-hmm,
and it looks as though that they really want to put this. I think they won the T20 World Cup back in the Caribbean, back in Barbados in 2010, I think,
mm-hmm,
it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So 2010. It was 2 years ago now. So it looks as though that they really want to add this one to into the portfolio. But so for me, whoever beats England wins this world T20.
Mm, yeah, they look very good, very very good indeed.
They look really on point. And also going back to obviously it's interesting obviously watching the difference in the three venues where the obviously Abu Dhabi actually the pitch played very well in cricket there for a change.
Yes,
but the Sharjah, it spins and the ball doesn't come on to the bat until the evening when the dew comes down. But Dubai, where the semi-final and the final is being played, it looks to be the best pitch. So hence you get the best pitch, the best team performing well should come out on top. So, mm-hmm, so it's building up to a really, really good competition.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go into this final round of prelim matches, obviously India.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble.
If you think the fallout from the West Indies is big and bad, you
can imagine in India. Yes, some houses may be burnt.
it's lots of stuff happening there because of obviously their performance level hasn't been what they would have wanted it to be. But listen, it's representative of world cricket, and it's really good to see these guys. Listen, the skills level, it's phenomenal to see how the batting, the bowling, the fielding skills is sometimes breathtaking, and it really showcases cricket in a good way, quite frankly. And if you want to be good, you gotta be brave, and you gotta put your body and soul on the line for yourself and your country.
Just before you go, Gladstone, we're gonna take a commercial break. Who do you think will win the World Cup?
England.
England will win the World Cup. You think so? I think they look very good indeed. And your dark horse? talk to me.
Pakistan. Yes. Pakistan. Yes. The team is also they look as though they're on a mission.
Yes.
Obviously, they've come on a mission. They always play well in these world tournaments. Pakistan.
Right. And final question. Final question. 30 seconds. West Indies up against Sri Lanka on Thursday. Very important match. A couple of decisions will have to be taken. Would you play Gale?
No.
You wouldn't play Gale?
No. I would be saying, Mr. Gale, you've been a wonderful superstar servant to West Indies and world cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Time you just go off out in the pasture and enjoy your life.
And if that pastures in St. George, you know it's going to be green.
You're very welcome to share it with me.
Yes, I want to thank you, Gladstone Small, former England fast bowler, born and bred in Barbados. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and you're still looking as young as a young yam, as we would say in Barbados. Thanks for your contribution. Enjoy the rest of your night.
All the best, gentlemen.
All right, there you go. We're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to open the lines. We want to know about your team for that game against Sri Lanka. Philo Wallace still maintains that Christopher Gill should open the matting. We're going to get a reaction from Sir Clive Lloyd. And of course, we want also to go and talk to Kenny Flipper Benjamin. But of course, Mason and Guest is brought in association with our very good friends at ASA Field White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASA Field White Rum. If everybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth. Drink it up or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
This is Mason and Guests. Of course, my co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. We've got Philo Wallace there in England. I see all the lovely... he's in his study there, and the law books are behind him. Philo studying very hard there, and perhaps when he comes back, Dr. Ford, you won't commit a crime, but you will maybe have Philo as your lawyer. And of course, we got Sir Clive Lloyd there in Dubai. Where are you exactly now, Sir Clive? Where are you? Sir Clive?
I'm outside of the city.
Yes, outside the city. And Philo sent me a note today and told me that you're in a 6-star hotel. Is that true?
I'm in what?
A 6-star hotel.
No, I'm not. I'm a very simple person. I know what those. That's not a luxury for Philo.
I know. But you know, Philo, and he gets the best suite, of course, in the world. All right, we've opened the lines very early. Let's go and take our first call to Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mason.
Good evening to you, sir. How are you?
There's always room for improvement by more cases.
Yes, and you regard me, don't you?
I regard you, sir. and all your panelists over time.
Yes.
And good evening to Dr. Gonzalez. He seemed to have a gut feeling about the West Indies and the cricket.
It's not Dr. Gonzalez. But you could call Sir Clive a doctor as well. It is Dr. Sir Clive. Yes. Ralph Gonzalez, of course, let's give him his title. The Honorable Dr. Ralph Gonzalez was with us last week, and he said...
I know it's Sir Clyde, but I'm saying that Dr. Gonzalez had a gut feeling about...
Oh, yes. Oh, he was absolutely brilliant. In fact, I'll say to you, before you make your contribution, that I consider the show last week to be one of the best we've ever had. Yeah, you know, when I do an assessment, of course, the one with Sir Garfield Sobers, I thought was absolutely brilliant. We also had one with Kyle Mayers talking to his family, very emotional. But I rate the one last week to be one of the best that we've had so far.
It was really good. Really
absolutely.
Good.
I mean, you had Sir Clive, you had Sir Kirtley Ambrose, you had Sir Andy Roberts, you had Phil O'Wallace, and of course you had the Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, who said that if the West Indies team were in government, people would march. You remember that one, don't you?
I may not recall everything vividly, but the point is...
And before you go, he also said that they would very well leave the future behind. I thought it was a very interesting comment.
If you keep looking at the past, you forget the future.
Indeed. Yes, your contribution, sir.
No, I'm saying, for some time I've been saying that Sir Gary Sobers and the Hens, Greenwich, all of them put together should have been consultants to West Indies cricket, and especially Sir Gary Sobers should be a consultant for life. Now, I regard and I'm impressed with what Sir Clive had made, the point earlier there about this and that. But I'm saying if he was a consultant to West Indies cricket, amid the board, he should be able to call out and say, sir, come here. I've given him put explanation as to what this should be. And you see, we need to get back, if we want to, recoup this 30 years loss of West Indies cricket down in Doldrum or however. We got to have things like this. I mean, it may be a little late to draw on the resources of Sir Gary and those, but they still got some little input. And we should never be in this dilemma.
Right, and I agree.
I really want to hear Randolph, Errol, Stricker, Century, and Alvin, the local boys, give their analysis on the cricket. I love to hear those guys. And I want to ask you a final question.
Sure.
Where would we go? What would we do to get back that supremacy that come along as a boy in the 60s, 70s, late 50s? And see, when you talk about Sir Comrade Hunt, Seymour Nurse, Gary Sobers, Wes Hall, Hall,
Charlie Griffith, of course, from St. Lucie, the three W's,
and the guy Lance Gibbs.
Oh, Lancelot Gibbs, yes.
Yeah, when will we get back there? And cricket is still a man, a bat, and a ball.
Right,
and good up top. What's wrong? We're taking so long to revert back to that. What is the problem? It's been so long to get back there.
It's been very long, very, very long indeed. Well, thanks for your contribution. I regard you as well. We're going to take another call and then when we come back, of course, we can get some input from Sir Clive as to that, and of course, Phil O'Wallace. Can we take a call? 4341-790. That is the call number to participate in the show. Philo, if we just fast forward a bit to the West Indies game against Sri Lanka, what are your expectations?
Well, Andrew, as I said earlier, Sri Lanka is playing good cricket. And again, we don't play spin well. And I think that they drew a good game or a better game. And West Indies, I believe that the game against Sri Lanka is going to be a good test for West Indies again. I think Sri Lanka are a better side than Bangladesh. And they have a point to prove. Again, a young team, but they've been playing good cricket. And I think that if we don't play well, Sri Lanka will beat West Indies. West Indies really have to knuckle down, Andrew, and try to come out of this World Cup with some kind of pride. We have Australia as our final game, and they're not going to do us any favours as well. So we still have two tough games to play. And qualifying for the finals looks obviously like it's past us. As we normally, when we're leaving tours, we're playing for pride.
Yeah, interesting.
But I know pride was flawed in Barbados.
Yes, interesting comments. Of course, you can send some WhatsApps as well. There's a gentleman saying Sir Clive has to be careful emphasizing that country comes first because Pollard has already put Trinidad first. That's a very interesting comment coming there. We'll continue to get reaction from you. You can send us your WhatsApp messages at 253-4679, and you can also call us over. I think we got a couple of calls on the line. Yes, Larry Mayers, the technical guru. They call him Larry the Legend. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
I just want to tell you and all the critics of West Indies cricket that this world has given to us. I want you to listen carefully to this because you're a lot of quotes. This world has given to us
yes.
the best of what it has had to offer.
Right.
We have got the best of this world, and it's gone already. So, I want to also tell y'all, including Philo, that if the West Indies, the West Indies beat Sri Lanka, and if they were playing for $1 billion, the West Indies would be going home with $1 billion. You don't go in these scorebooks and see nearly win or nearly loss. You don't see that in scorebooks. And I want all the people that criticize the West Indies to know that despite the world has given us the best of what it had to offer, that there will come a time again when the West Indies will be on top. And you see this, this tour to the 2020 World Cup. The next 2020 World Cup is going to be a brand new team with people concentrating more to take us forward. So just ease off the boys for this time. This was a big bad mistake we made here. Big bad mistake. But the next World Cup, and you believe I tell you, we're going to be seeing a different team.
Let's hope so. Well, Philo Wallace is going to be making some recommendations with that. That committee. I hear a lot of talk about the selectors, but I haven't heard anything about the coaches, because I think if we don't, and it's highly, we won't qualify really for the semifinals, then the question has to be, will Phil Summons continue to be in his job? That's something that we got to discuss as well, you know, because to be honest with you, the record of Phil Simmons is not the best. So that's one of the things we need to look at as well. Have we got a call in the line? Yes, we do. Hello, welcome. Sir Clive, we're going to come back to you in a minute. Hello, welcome.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm better now I'm hearing you.
Good night to your guests as well. And you just hit the nail on the head, because that's exactly what I was coming in to speak about.
Sure.
Now everybody talks about our team, and we're chipping, and we're chopping, and we're changing the team. But my emphasis tonight, and I'm shining the spotlight on the coaches, what is our coaches doing?
Yes.
We are changing the team, we are chipping and chopping the team, as I said. And we're giving our coaches all types of different things, yet they don't seem to be improving in performance. Who are our coaches that are supposed to be coaching these things? These teams are not doing any better. I was saying on another program this season that watching our team practice and going through their daily practice, it seems as though that they're just kindergarten kids that are just practicing.
Oh, dear.
What is our coaches doing?
No intensity at all.
And when people, as the last gentleman, and I respect his views, but when people come out talking about, the next team and the next World Cup is going to do this and do that, it's about 10, 20 years now, and true that we have been having the same problems. They're not being there now. You don't see any improvement. You might get a little improvement here and there, like, for instance, when we beat England, but nothing is changing. Down the line, and nothing is really changing.
No.
If we don't take a real drastic and serious look at our cricket, and our coaches, and everybody who is responsible for the team, I fear that when the next World Cup comes, we are just going to be in the same position. Every time a new tour comes around, there's all sorts of optimism, and we fall back into the same problems once the tour begins or whatever. So I'm afraid we've got to look at all cricket holistically and make changes. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful contribution. Let's go back to Sir Clive now. We got a couple of calls backed up. Sir Clive, do you think that the selectors and the coaches should come under the microscope?
Well, whenever you haven't done well, the captain and the selectors always get, you know, the brunt of the attack. The point is, I heard the other caller just now talking about, in the next World Cup, you will do well. You can't just do well. You have to plan for that.
Right.
It is only in the 2023 is the next World Cup. So the point is, you have to get people there who are strong enough, intelligent enough, and want to do, and professional enough, and hungry enough to win things. I don't know if you understand that how I feel. And I am there, and we are, you know, bowled out to 55. I have to answer a lot of questions.
Yes, yes.
You know, and the point is, you feel, you know, you want to know, well, what can we do to improve our cricket.
Mm.
And, we, and if you're a West Indian, you want to see the West Indies do well.
Mm.
Then, or else you're not a West Indian. We want to see those guys perform. And if we make, if they get criticized here and there, that is because we want to see a better performance according to what we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not during my time or the time before we were class cricketers. In my time, 17 years we were champions. 17 years.
Mm.
You get that because you plan properly. You try and get the right people in there. Good? Mm-hmm. And we must get young people who want to play this cricket and who are interested in us doing well.
Mm.
And that is what we need to get thinking cricketers.
Mm. No, I agree.
Guys who are going to think on their feet. Just like the other, you look, I don't know if you look at the game today. It was a perfect game. You know, your Pakistan did extremely well. England the other day, they seem to have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Yeah, we're all over the place.
When they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all over the place, Sir Clive. There's no doubt about that. You could see it in relation to our cricket. Hold your thoughts there, Sir Clive. We got several calls backed up. I know that Dr. Andrew Ford has got a question or two. Doc, let's come to you.
Well, I mean, one of the interesting things, when the caller mentioned the next World Cup, World Cup is just a year from now in Australia.
Yes, it is.
Another place with very big grounds, and the pitches will be true and bouncy. So the thing is, can the West Indies really revitalize and rejig a T20 team that will be relevant in a year? And that's going to be a major challenge, which requires a shift in thinking and definitely a new panel, because I don't think that the methodology that has been used thus far is working. Okay, a question. I mean, Philo, we have our top batsman just having an aggregate of 68 runs. That's Evan Lewis, and made 56 in one of his innings. But we look at the impact of the captains on these World Cup teams. We saw Babar, you did mention the England captain, and we look at our captain and his impact on international cricket. 91 games, averaging 24, taking 38 wickets at 8.45 in this time. Do you think we have had enough impact performances by our captain over those 91 T20s to really justify having him as a leader for a squad going forward?
Doc, I don't think that Pollard's stats are shining. Obviously, he has not really been impactful at the international level. I keep saying that he doesn't come to the front to show responsibility enough in our T20 squad, even our 50-over squad. Pollard has not bowled any balls in this T20 cricket, in this cricket. Has he bowled an over yet, or two overs?
I think he has one leg now, possibly.
Pollard has, to me, I think that Pollard has failed us in that he has not really stepped up to lead the team the way we thought he would have led the team, Dr. Ford. I know Pollard well. You know, when I'm in Trinidad, I speak to him daily when he's driving from home with his kids, and he knows how he feels, and he has not led that team well at all. I thought that Pollard would be the man to put his hand up and say, "Gentlemen, I can take this on my back. We are going to do this XYZ." To tell the public that it is not a developmental tour and be in the position that we're in with seasoned campaigners is detrimental to his credibility. And the coach is also a selector, Andrew. And if you're going to dismantle the selection panel, the coach will have to go as well. So those are things that need to be considered. But I think that Pollard, for all that he is worth in T20 cricket, I have not seen it in him at this World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's struggling. You know, he has a funny injury, and we don't know if he's going to play. But I think that I expected more from him. I thought he would have really been the one to glue that bat in that middle order together, and also with the bowling and stuff. and really bring those guys, because those guys need a leader. The Puran and those guys looked up to him. They said that Pollard is their mentor. Pollard guides them, gives them advice. So if you're doing all of this in the back room, then on the actual field of play, we are not seeing it. There's a lot happening in that back room. Christopher Gill is an inspiration in the dressing room, but we're not seeing the inspiration on the field.
Oh, interesting.
That field of play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are not seeing these accolades that these guys are talking about when they're doing the interviews.
Phil, just hold your thought, because Kenny Benjamin, the former West Indies fast bowler, has joined us, and he tells me he's just got 5 minutes. I know he's a very, very busy man. So let's go to Antigua and talk to Kenny Benjamin. Hello, Kenny. How are you?
Good evening to you. Good evening to Philo and all the other listeners, Andrew.
Yes, I know you have very little time, so let's get straight to it. The West Indies so far, they played against England. They lost South Africa. They barely beat Bangladesh. Your impressions of their performances so far, Kenny?
Disappointing, but not surprising. Ooh. I think when you look at what has happened pre-World Cup, the writing was on the wall. And listen, and I want to send this disclaimer. The only team I support is the West Indies. The only team I back is the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
But we're short in terms of our skill sets, our planning, and, you know, our actual performances in general. You know, we're short of some of the other teams. And I believe this is a good opportunity for us to really sit down and to see if this is the direction we want to go with the cricket, where we play a half-injured guy here, our best all-rounder can't get into a starting team. And so, you know, we need to seriously look and see the things that we're doing, the teams, the combinations that we've come up with. Is this in the best interest of West Indies cricket? Is this the best we can do for West Indies cricket? Are there other motives? You know, we have to be serious, because I don't think when England selectors and coaches sit down, they say, hey, we like a lot of guys from Yorkshire and so on. I think they look and see what is the best team, the best possible team to go there and to try and do well and to win for England. And I'm sure the other teams do that. And that is the type of mentality we have to start thinking. If the general public, we know everybody isn't going to be satisfied. If the general public, Andrew, is satisfied with the selection, they think, look, these are the best guys we believe that we have available and so forth to go up there, and we don't do so well, people will probably start to understand that, hey, or maybe we are not as good as we thought we were. But when you find someone like a Jason Holder can't get in and so on, you have to ask yourself different questions. Are we serious?
I see.
You know, and so all of the talks and so forth that we're hearing and so on, look, off the field we have significant challenges. And those need to be dealt with, or else it's going to be difficult on the field.
Kenny, do you think a head should roll? We're not going to qualify for the semi-finals. We may get over Sri Lanka. I can't see us beating Australia. Do you think head should roll?
What I can say is that, before I answer that, no is, and I have said that maybe when the team was on the way to the World Cup, they shouldn't brought out the investigation into the selection and so on. I didn't have a problem with the move, but I just felt it should have been kept. You know, let the guys go and play. But I believe that is very, very critical. I think we need to look at the coach as well, and look at the captain as well, because some very strange decisions have been made, and we have to look. They're out there. Everybody who understands cricket and understand what is happening in the West Indies, see that, look, this is not something that is just happened. We think, you know, somebody's thinking something differently. There are different motives here. And so definitely, I believe it should be looked into. And if the people up there, the Jimmy Adams and so on, think that they need to roll some heads should roll. I would roll some heads. Kenny Benjamin would have some heads rolling. But like I said, that's Kenny Benjamin.
And could you explain what you mean by that, Kenny? Would you fire Phil Simmons?
Well, based on the fact that he is a selector, I wouldn't single out Phil Simmons. I want to look collectively at the overall management, the people responsible for selection and performance and so forth. I want to look at it collectively. So I wouldn't single out a one individual, because it is more than one people probably responsible for what we're seeing.
Mm.
I think it's a travesty that people like Holder and so on couldn't get in, and Chase couldn't start. Mm. You know, these kind of things, I have concerns.
Kenny, you're on the fence. I asked you a specific question and I've gotten a specific answer. Would you fire Phil Simmons?
And I just said to you.
Yes, what did you say?
I just said to you, I am not going to say I would fire Phil Simmons, because if Phil Simmons is going, it's not him alone.
Mm.
I have to look, because if I'm firing, I'm cleaning out.
Oh, Roddy Estwick as well?
Well, the thing about it, you can't fire Roddy Estwick because you didn't hire Roddy Estwick.
Okay, fair enough.
Phil Simmons hired Roddy Estwick.
Okay.
Mm. So it's just that if you fire Phil Simmons, you expect his baggage got to go with him.
Mm.
But then if the other coach comes on and wants Roddy Estwick, you know, that is his call.
Mm. Do you think that President Skerritt should get some lashes, because it is pretty clear that he and Dr. Shallow, they wanted to go back for these old guys? Do you think the spotlight should be on President Skerritt and my good friend Dr. Shallow?
Well, the thing about it, you know, responsibility got to be pointed at the people that get the guys. I don't know if Skerritt select anybody.
Yes.
I don't know if Shallow selected anybody. I don't know if Jimmy Adams selected anybody.
Right.
And so that is why it is important that they're the ones now who must say, listen, when we listen to the public, what they're saying makes sense. So we're going to have a look into this. That is responsible action. That if they do nothing, then we say, hey, they're just as guilty.
Mm. I see. Now, what about Roger Harper and his selection panel?
He is in the limelight. He is in the limelight because I just spoke to you about some selections that the general public just, and I am one too. That felt, I could not see how someone like a Jason Holder couldn't get into that team.
Mm.
I couldn't understand why you selected Chase, and Chase didn't start after being informed. But
didn't make sense at all.
I also couldn't understand. You have a spinner in the team in Hayden Walsh, and then one of the spinners gets injured, and the reserve spinner comes in and walks into the team.
Yes.
And we see the same with Holder. Jason Holder, because of that consistency, Jason Holder can't make your team. He's in reserve. But a fast bowler gets injured, and you didn't go for O'Shea and Thomas, who you pick ahead of Jason Holder.
Yes.
Jason Holder walks straight into the team.
Mm.
So why wasn't he there in front of O'Shea and Thomas in the first place?
You know?
So it seems like they're very consistent in taking people out of the reserve and putting them straight in the 11. But they couldn't make the original 15. Something got to be wrong with that.
Mm.
I would like to hear Philo's comment on that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, Philo.
Kenny Benjamin, I agree with you and Kelly, because when you look at Kenny, the lead selector said that O'Shea and Thomas is the X Factor. But yeah, the X Factor cannot get the game.
Mm.
We don't know if he'll play against Sri Lanka, but he cannot get the game thus far. And it baffled me that Taylor Walsh Jr. was your first choice spinner.
Right.
Okay, Fabian Allen got injured. You brought in Akil Hussain, who was our best spinner in the home series against Australia. But you picked Hayden Walsh as your frontline spinner, and you brought this guy, Akil Hussain, and leapfrogged him over Hayden Walsh. What is that going to do to Hayden Walsh's confidence? Really, how is he going to rest peaceful at night, knowing, well, I was in the 15 and this man just jumped over my head? Yes, he may not say it, it won't bother him, it has not bothered him, but it will bother him. He's a human being. And these are things that selectors need to explain. If you're going to go for Aki Hussain in front of a guy like Hayden Walsh Jr., who's an outstanding fielder, similar to Aki Hussain, who will give you a bit more, you need to let us know what is going on. The selections are happening, and you just see them. Nobody says anything, and I think that these things are wrong. It's not about being critical. It's about wanting the right decisions for West Indies cricket.
Mm.
And I want the selectors to know that decisions are made for the benefit of West Indies cricket, those selection decisions. And if they start thinking that way, they would start getting the results that they're looking for. You cannot tell me to Kerry Ross since he is the informed batsman. All praises that he's going to be the next Marlon Samuels. Two games have passed. You don't pick the guy. He played in the third game. Well, he got some chances, but he got us into a position where we could have defended the total, and we defended that total. Jason Holder came into the squad, and he scored 16 runs in a few balls, and that also helped us to get to that total. The two guys that you did, that they refused to play, came into the side and actually performed well to allow us to win, and then Russell Bowl that got that last over. But the selections should be straightforward, Kenny. The selections for West Indies cricket team are not difficult. We don't have 3,000 cricketers. We have a very few cricketers. Pick the good cricketers and let them play together.
I tell you what, Philo, and in Antigua, and I, and Jamaica always want me to be straight.
Yes.
The whole discussion is, it seems to us like inside there is some fighting Barbados Trinidad.
You think so?
And it looks very much that way.
Oh dear!
Because to start with, I could not understand. I have not heard the explanation, and we can't understand here in Antigua. Why is it that Jason Holder, our best all-rounder, can't get into this West Indies team?
Yes.
And then we can't understand either why Chase. Because do you realize the first two games there was no Bajan in it?
Yes. Interesting.
You know, and so, you know, we...
That's an interesting one, Kenny. And in fact, when they came in, they both made an impact. The battle around Chase, he got 39. Jason Holder came five balls, making and then he bowled well and took a magnificent catch. Yeah, you know,
and so I must say, and when I say we, because it's a bunch of us here, and we are hoping that that is not the case, that we are wrong. But from all the signs that we are seeing, you know, and we're just hoping for the cricket, for West Indies cricket's sake, we're hoping that is not the case. We're hoping that we are wrong.
4341790, give us a call and participate in the show. I think we can take a call. Ronnie Clark has joined us with Man United scoring late. I saw that. Oh, what a performance by Ronaldo again. Let's take a call as it heads to 7:30. Hello, welcome.
Hey, Mr. Mason.
How are you?
Man, not as good as you, but I heard you congratulating a caller. He made a contribution with regard to the last 20 years. Now, this present administration inherited a winning structure.
Yes.
We had just won the Youth World Cup. We had won the Women's World Cup. And we won the 2020 World Cup. That structure was dismantled. You see, so to say that the West Indies hasn't made any progress in 20 years, I don't understand where the man was living. And you agree with him, so... It says, where were you living to? You know, again, don't they dismantle Mr. Skirrett and his shadow? Disrupted a winning structure. And you're going to... all the coaches that were winning were just chucked by the wayside. The women don't know a bat from a ball now.
No, they look poor, yes. It's
really terrible. But they had a winning coaching.
Paul, do you think Mr. Skerritt and Mr. Shallow should go?
Well, he was offended to this position with your assistance because you...
With my assistance?
With your assistance.
And Dr. Ford, as well?
Mr. Riley, and Mr. Ford. You were saying to Mr. Condé, Riley, why don't you give the man a hearing?
Yes.
And all this kind of thing, and you promoted them all over.
Yeah, but what was wrong with that, though?
But you cannot promote people who are going to put you back 20 years on you. And that's what's happened.
So you think we should bring back Dave Cameron?
Oh, dear me. You see, you're making these lot of frivolous things.
No, not it's not frivolous at all.
Talking about going back to Dave Cameron.
No. We have under Dave Cameron, and you said it, the guy has won 3 World Cups.
Precisely.
Right. So what is so frivolous about us saying...
What are you going back for him for? What do you want to go back for?
No. I didn't say I want to go back. I asked you a question, sir.
No, I don't want to go back to Cameroon.
Okay,
I want to get rid of this lot.
Okay.
Have a good night, man.
Okay, good. Thanks for your contribution. All right, can we take another call? Ronnie Clark says yes. Stay with us, Kenny. Hello, welcome. You're listening to your radio caller. Talk to me. Hello, caller.
Hi, good night.
Yes, good night. Yes.
And good night to the panel.
Yes, good night to you.
Listen every week.
First, what part of Barbados are you calling from?
Britain and St. Philip.
Oh, from the Republic.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Well, Phil Wallace.
Yes.
The journal of cricket. And Andrew Mason. I want to know if you all ever watched Woman Cork.
If you ever did what?
If you all ever see the show in Barbados.
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, the Rum and Coke man wants to run in St. Philip North. And he'd have to speak to me and to Philo and to Dr. Ford before he gets the approval.
I guess that you saw Rum and Coke again 3 matches ago. the coach.
Yes.
The two coaches.
Yes.
The first coach and the fourth coach.
Yes.
I don't know how they get in the first place.
Mm.
Never
there.
Yeah. The selector. You want moving too, Mr. Harper.
So caller, are you going to clean house then? Are you going to clean house?
Well, I know for sure next elections, the man that running can't get back.
Oh. Oh.
The gentleman just called said that we gone back 20 years ago, we had a good team. And this form of this administration matches up. No, not this administration. The last administration might have been the most Sammy. When we have a captain that right. can get the team run.
Right.
That we want a captain that can get the team run.
Yes. Yes.
But they can't find them now. This boy Perrin, I watched him close. He looked good. If the West Indies beat Sri Lanka, he got to be captain it. If they beat Australia, he got to be captain it. They can't win no more matches on that boy Perrin.
That's a very interesting comment you're making. And maybe we can come back to Kenny. Yeah, thanks for your contribution, Mr. Brayton. Let's go back to Kenny Benjamin. Now, going forward, of course, you've got another World Cup coming in about a year's time in Australia. Would you look to Perrin to lead the side in the future and clean house, Kenny?
The thing about it is that I would like to see Perrin leadership skills. I think we need to stop guessing and hoping. I think, we have to be certain of what we're doing. Okay? From where I sit, Andrew, we're sort of as a region, because we have to understand this, that when we go to play, people see us as the West Indies. They don't see us as Barbados and Jamaica and Trinidad. They see us as the West Indies. And we have to start to think like that. So, I know, like you mentioned, the next World Cup is coming up. I think, probably, Andrew, we need to be realistic and look beyond that, I don't see a lot changing by that time, We need to start to look beyond that, We will participate, but we got to start to look beyond that. What happens after Australia and so on? I would like to hear those sort of conversations coming out of the planners and the coaches and so on. Because if we're going to just try and play from tournament to tournament, even though we have a bad team, we don't have good enough skilled players and so forth, and we're still thinking that we're just going to prepare for a World Cup. We got to start preparing down the road, man. We got to start looking 5 and 6 years, looking at some of the other 19 players and under 17 to see, what we're going to have and where would we like to be. We have to do this progressively. We can't just continue to just go from World Cup to World Cup and hope that we get lucky. Those days are gone, man. We have to plan long term, we have to plan medium term, and we have to plan short term. I just see that we're doing this short term thing over and over and over. So in terms of Perrin, you never know. We may just find someone in the next couple of months who is really brilliant as a leader, I don't know. And can really and truly make significant contributions. So I wouldn't say yes, just throw him in as yet. I still believe we still need to look around for like that last, and Philo said it, we need to make sure that any decisions we're making going forward is for the best interests and for the betterment of West Indies cricket.
Just before you go, Kenny, I know you say you're going to spend 5 minutes, but of course when you get all riled up, as 5 becomes 10, and we're glad to have you, we're going to pause for business calls. But the game against Sri Lanka on Thursday, would you make any changes to the side?
The game against Sri Lanka
On Thursday, would you make any changes?
I'm looking. I don't. Once everybody's fit, I would probably leave that. If I was going to make one change, it would have to be Gale for the Spice Man.
So you're going to leave the side, or you're going to bring the Spice Man and drop Gale? So what are you going to do, Kenny? You're going to leave the side, or you're going to?
If I'm going to make any changes, right, it'll be one and Spice Man for
Gale.
I hear Brian Lara and so on, but again, the best interest of West Indies cricket can't be to give someone a good sending off.
Yes,
not making one.
Were you surprised by the comments of Brian Lara? Were you surprised by his comments?
I am not surprised, because I don't know why he thought that. But that is his comment. But I am hoping they're not surprised by mine. If someone isn't performing for the best interest of our cricket, the West Indies cricket,
right,
and you have to drop them, you know, I can't see that you're going to give a guy a good sending off by playing him and he's failing.
Yeah, I see.
That may be a worse send off for him.
Yeah, I agree. I drop Gale and bring in Fletcher. Gale has no confidence at all. The Sri Lankans, they've got fast bowlers nowadays, you know, and once he comes to bat, they're going to bowl aggressive at him. He's going the back foot. He can't field. And I certainly would drop Gale. You know, we love Gale, but the reality is that time, is up on Gale. I want to thank you, Kenny Benjamin, for coming through and talking to us. Always a pleasure. And of course, we're going to pull something from what you said and make it primetime sports tomorrow. Thanks, Kenny Benjamin.
Have a good night, gentlemen.
All right. When we come back, we're going to go to Dr. Askar Mansingh. We also want to talk to the legend Derek Murray, who is up in Jamaica. But let me tell you that Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at ASAFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth. Drink it up or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, if there's someone who knows about fitness, of course, is Dr. Askar Mansingh. He joins us now from Jamaica. By the way, are you in Jamaica or are you in Dubai, Dr. Singh?
No, very much in
you're in Jamaica. All right. Right. Is the West Indies team fit?
Is the West Indies team fit?
Mm.
Fit for purpose or?
No, based on what you've seen so far, they look to be huffing and puffing.
Indeed, yeah. I don't know if that's because of fitness or other reasons, but certainly are huffing and puffing.
I like that, Dr. Singh. All right. No. What's the latest on McCoy, Obin McCoy?
Well, I think there was a release that said that he was injured, and his injury has not gotten better to the extent that he's not match ready, and so they've had to replace him.
I see. Was he fit before he left the Caribbean?
Well, you see, I don't know what you mean by fit. If you're asking about whether he was carrying an injury, the answer is yes. There are a lot of players who carry injuries throughout, and very often it's a matter of risk management. Now, I would say, you know, 90-95% of those nobody would hear about, because they're managed to a series, they're managed to whatever, and they get through. We've had two players that we've had to replace. One was Obin McCoy, and the other was Pavin Allen, both of whom, you know, one picked up an injury, as you know, in the IPL. The other, who was having an injury that was being managed for a while, and the question was, you know, could this injury have carried through a player who could bowl four overs per match and get the requisite rest? And in these two circumstances, they were not able to get the match readiness, and so it was prudent to change them.
So it was a mistake then, Doc? Was it a mistake?
No, as I said before, those who are managed, you will never hear about. So you won't ask if there are mistakes or there are success stories. Every sport is going to have people who have some level of injury, and you've got to manage it through. Now, if it responds, then all well and good. If it doesn't respond, then you've got to reassess.
I see. Well, of course, Derek Murray has joined us, but of course, I would imagine that Dr. Ford has got a question for you. Doctor, from one doctor to another.
All right. Good night to Dr. Mansingh. Dr. Mansingh, we've already ascertained that our fitness assessment looks at where a player is and allows that player to progress at a certain rate rather than, and we have a certain standard that we have. If you look at the body habitus of several of the players, you look at our recent history in tournaments with players breaking down, even though there's risk benefit ratios and all that we're doing. The real question is, do you as a part of the medical team and an individual responsible for determining fitness think that maybe we have to raise our standards or make some changes to your protocols that determine if a person is fit to play?
Well, for a start, I think we had a discussion on this program some months ago on the whole fitness regime and how that needed to be changed.
Yeah, I don't want to go over it. I just
but what I'm just saying is that, and we had pointed out,
if you think you need to improve it or not. Just in case someone that tuned in didn't know what we talked about. But the real question is, are you satisfied with your medical group's assessment of what fitness is, and do you think you have to improve on it, or are you satisfied with where it is?
Yeah, I can go now?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, as I pointed out on this program, that there were... Oh, I see you sighing now. Sorry, just... Doc, I see you sighing on the screen. You want a yes or no, or do you want a bit of a preview?
No. Keep going.
Right, maybe you're tired, but you certainly...
I wish I could see you.
Yeah. I like that one. Yes, Doc.
We'll try again. That's many months ago we spoke on this program about the fact that the fitness testing that was being done was based on one parameter alone. And we didn't think that was the right way to go. And we figured that we should return to the days where you had a battery of tests. And those batteries would determine a person's fitness. And therefore, if you failed one aspect, it would not deem that you're unfit. And as part of that, what we were doing was collecting data on all the other fitness tests to see what our normal is. Now, just as we're about to implement that, COVID struck, and we're not able to collect that data. We have in the last few rounds of fitness been collecting that data, because you cannot impose standards unless you know where everybody is. So with that background, I'd say that no, I'm not satisfied right now with the system, because we've not been able to implement the better system as we see it. But as we're collecting that data, I would think in the next round or the round after that, we'd be able to implement a more wholesome fitness test, which would then tell you all the parameters of fitness and not just endurance.
Okay, but I guess the real question is, why aren't our standards as rigorous as, let's say, in India or maybe in England first team?
I'm not too sure, because I've seen their fitness standards and I don't see ours being any different. Except for the fact that it's based off of one battery. One test as opposed to a battery.
Okay, but if you look at the attainment of our players for that one test that they use, I believe that our assessment of that same measure is lower. So I'm asking you, why can't we just be like the others who are performing every day and tending to stay on the park?
That's a good question, and a lot of it has to do with when you start this sort of testing, because some of those professional outfits have certain fitness aspects addressed from a very, very young age. So when they come to the senior team, it's not something that you really have to do a test on per se. It's just an assessment of where they are. And there's no doubt that in our franchise system, we should be seeing far more fitness, attention to fitness and standards. I fully accept that. And until that happens, you are going to find that you'll have people struggling. But at the same time, you are going to find that there are going to be different levels for different people, simply based off of either their age, their return from an injury, their own personal handicaps or attributes. And that exists in every system. There's no system which has an absolute minimum below which everybody is cut off. which is what was tried in West Indies, but obviously is not equitable.
Doc, just before you come in, we got please hold your question, but let's quickly go now to Derek Murray. He's with us. Derek, good evening to you.
Good evening, and good evening to the panel. I was enjoying your discussion. Fitness is a very important topic, so I don't want you to cut short that discussion, nor would I expect you to ask me to give my expert opinion on fitness, although I would point to the fitness test that we used to use and ask Gordon Greenidge and Rohan Kanai, for instance, if they were fit or not, and be especially pleased if they declared themselves fit but were carrying a limp. Because you know how dangerous that is for the opposition if you have Kanhai limping or Gordon Greenidge limping. It usually meant a lot of runs that they scored. So, I have a different opinion of fitness, Dr. Mansi.
Interesting. Derek, so far, Ambassador, sorry, let me give you a title.
No. The informality is good for me.
Okay, fair enough. No, your assessment of the West Indies team so far at the World Cup?
I think it's what I expected. I did a show on Trinidad Television just before the tournament started. And I said that I thought the West Indies were a 50-50 team, meaning that each individual, each game, almost each ball of each game had a 50-50 outcome. You know, it was either going to go for 4 or 6 or you'd be out. And I thought our chances were that we would win 50% of the games that we played and hope that that would be enough to get us through on net run rate, etc. And it's going according to that kind of a plan. I'm not happy with it. I would prefer to be an invincible team that other teams failed every time we came onto the field. But the team is as is what we have. And we have been developing that team over the T20s for the last, I would say, year, 9 months. And all the games have gone according to that formula.
Derek, we really can't qualify. I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to qualify. But going forward, you see a lot of changes? You remember we got the World Cup in Australia in the year's time?
No, I think at the end of this World Cup, T20 World Cup, whether we win, lose, draw, whatever, there has to be new thinking. But it has to be new thinking, guys, from the very top, from the governance structure, how the West Indies board looks at its territorial boards, how they run their cricket. And I'm talking about cricket from secondary schools, maybe even primary schools level. And we need to have a whole different rethink. We can no longer depend on a few brilliant individuals to carry us through. You know, global cricket is different to that now, and therefore we need to have players with talent, which we have in abundance in the Caribbean, but who have been prepared, nurtured, to understand the game, understand their talents, their attributes, their weaknesses, and developed as a team going through, so that we get into different circumstances, whether it be T20, Test cricket, 50 over, whatever they put before us, and our team understanding each other and bonding with each other, know how to adapt to particular situations and come out victorious with the confidence that they know what to do with their talent and they can assess the situations going forward. We are a long, long way from that at the moment.
Dr. Ford?
Well, I guess my question is to Philo. Philo, we statistically have great difficulty to qualify for the next round. We just have a few games left. What should we really try to get out of these games? Mm-hmm. Should we just try to see what the reserves that haven't played have in store? I mean, it's not a developmental tour, we heard, but we know it's not a tour that we can win the World Cup. So should we gather some information at this level with the players we have, or should we still go all out to try to see if we can win?
Doc, that's a very good question. Let me say good evening also to Ambassador Ambassador Murray. Doc, when you look at West Indies cricket right now, do you think we have the strength in our selectors to pick an 11 that will be for the future in the next two World Cup games? I don't think so, Doc.
I think I hope your new criteria will make that possible for us.
And I'll tell you this, sir. We have a chairman called Mr. Enoch Lewis. Director of cricket Jimmy Adams is there as well. Doc, all I want to see from the policy is that the people who are appointed to work with the policy are honest and do what is right for West Indies cricket. The cricket is not mine. I don't consider myself an icon, a legend. I'm just a normal former Barbados and West Indies cricketer who feels very close to cricket and want to see West Indies cricket rise and be popular again. And we need to make decisions for West Indies cricket. I'm going to continue to say it. If Phil Simmons and those in Dubai, if they sit down tonight and they say, look, we need to pick the 11 for the future, I will be happy. But if we go there if we go on Thursday and we pick the same 11 that played against Bangladesh and we lose that game, what are you going to do against Australia? Play the young boys?
Interesting.
Our selection was bad from the beginning. And a guy told me 3 months ago, you cannot correct wrong. Then you can't correct it. You got to do right. So we have to do what is right for West Indies cricket. I'm asking for, Doc. So when they go on Thursday against Sri Lanka, whoever they put up there to play that 11, have player to win the game for West Indies cricket. This cricket does not belong to Pollard in Trinidad, Harper in Guyana, Simmons in Dubai. It belongs to us in the region and the diaspora. We want to see those guys playing West Indies cricket. That's all I'm asking for. Policy is asking for. Respect the policy and bring West Indies cricket back to the fore.
Right.
Honestly.
I like what Phil is saying. You know, a World Cup is not a place that you try out players for the future. This is our team. The powers that be that selected it think it's the best team we have for winning the World Cup. They have to go out with the 11 that they think is best. I'm very confident that we're going to beat
Sri Lanka?
Bangladesh. Sri Lanka tomorrow.
Right.
They are out of the tournament on Thursday. They are out of the tournament. So I expect to beat them. The Australia game, whatever Australia's result is, and I think they will win as well. It's going to be a 50-50 game.
50-50.
As capable of beating Australia and England as they are of losing to Namibia or Scotland.
Ooh.
You know, that's what the West Indies team has been garnered for this tournament to do.
Oh, dear.
Just go out, attack every ball. You're either going to make 55 or you're going to make 180, and you may or may not defend whatever total you make.
Oh, dear.
So that's what we went into the tournament to do. We saw that building up over the last 3 or 4 series that we played. The same kind of team was gathered together despite whatever anybody else said. That was the team they wanted. They went with it. So we play out the tournament with it. We can hope and pray that we win our 2 games. One-sidedly enough to claw back the net run rate, so that if we, Australia and South Africa, end up with 6 points, we have a chance to qualify on net run rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
I wouldn't bet any money on it, but
you never know.
It's what it is.
It is.
And as I say, you know, you wipe the slate clean at the end of it, win, lose, otherwise, you wipe the slate clean, and West Indies cricket needs a total overhaul.
Oh,
and unless that happens from, as I say, territorial level right up, we're going to be in trouble and be in a downward spiral.
Stay with us, Derek. We got another 5 minutes. Let's go to Dr. Ashkaman Singh. Dr. Singh, would it be right to say that Fabian Allen and Obed McCoy injured, and we took a chance with them at the World Cup and it backfired?
Well, remember, Fabian's injury was fairly recent. And the indications we got from when he had the injury wasn't done under the auspices of, he didn't get it under the auspices of West Indies cricket. The indications we got was that, you know, there was a good chance he would have recovered. And with Obed, as I said, it was a calculated risk, if you want to say that, or some risk assessment, and it didn't go the way we wanted to. But as I said, there are many cases that did go the way we wanted to. So in the balance, I mean, that's how it is. But if I can join the discussion on another hand, I fully endorse what everybody has said. When you hear Derek Murray talking about not betting on West Indies winning, from a man who took us from an impossible victory to victory in the 75 World Cup against Pakistan, with that last wicket partnership and so on, you can see how much hope he has there compared to an impossible situation that he turned possible. But my general comment is this, and this is what really irks me, is cricket has moved leaps and bounds and continues to move leaps and bounds. Every time there's a new form of the game, we tend to dominate and win. When Test cricket, you could say, arguably changed to a more power game, we started winning. In fact, the secret of our success may have been the fitness of our team compared to the other teams. When 50-over World Cup came to the fore, we won the first two. We lost in the finals of the third, never to even make the semifinals with regularity after that. When T20 came, it was a new form of the game. We won two World Cups. But what you're seeing being played right now is totally different from the last World Cup that was played. For example, we continue to try and hit the ball in the air and get out repeatedly, whereas other teams, which would have normally hit the ball hard to abandon the deep and taken one, are now paddling so they can take two. There's a lot more intelligence being shown in the cricket now, which we still haven't mastered. We're still trying to blast our way out of it. The day we dropped Shiv Narayan Chanderpaul from the 50-over team was the last time we started batting 50 overs. And yet we still can't see that even in T20 you need somebody who can stabilize the innings. And you've got people like Ross and Chase and so on batting very sensibly and scoring runs. And it's just inexplicable to me personally why he wouldn't be in a starting 11. So the game changes every year. And I think you've seen a paradigm shift from the last World Cup to this World Cup. Indeed, I put it to you, there's a paradigm shift from what was performed in the IPL versus people playing for their countries. There's been a change in a shift in standards there. And we tend to always fall behind the eight ball when it comes to adapting or even recognizing change.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. Derek, after this World Cup, you reckon we have some changes? No more Gail, no more Pollard, no more Russell. Maybe look to Porran as a leader. Selectors could be fired in the courts as well.
Well, no, I'm saying that we have to look at the whole of West Indies cricket. You mentioned the coaches last, so I'll take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure, too. Sure.
You look at our players, and you look at players who come into what I would call the inner circle, whether you call it the squads for camps, etc., over the last few years. Can you tell me which one, I only want one example of one player who has improved from as an under-19 player coming into the senior squad, who has improved between that and now. So, you know, you look whether it's too many cooks spoil the broth, etc. But before you look at that and condemn players or coaches or anything, what about the system? Who puts all these people in the positions that they're in? Who chooses who is the coach, who is the selector, who is this? So if the system is wrong to start with, I think Philo said it, you're not going to correct it by a cosmetic change. the core of what is happening has to change. We have umpteen reports from Patterson to Webby on the governance of West Indies cricket. If the governance structure doesn't change, we in problem. The West Indies board has to look at its territorial board. What development program have we had in the Caribbean since, you know, the advent of all these committees and so with territory at primary and secondary level? You know, there's nothing to look at to say, I've seen a boy with some talent, I've seen a girl with some talent. I know that by the time she's 18 or 22, they're going to develop into elite international cricketers. That's not happening. It's the five or six people who have real talent that rise to the top in their franchises or whatever, and that's what we left in. That's going to run out. We haven't got a pool that if you change a couple of players because they're injured or so, that the ones we bring in are going to fit right into the team. You know, there isn't that kind of a thinking against West Indies cricket. You know, people like Frank Warren must be turning in their graves.
Right. Well, I want to thank you very much indeed. Our time is up. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Ambassador Murray. I want to thank Dr. Askin Mansingh making some interesting comments about Fabian Allen, Obed McCoy. It was a bit of a gamble that didn't come through at all. I want to thank you, Philo Wallace. And, of course, earlier we heard from Sir Clive Lloyd and Kenny Benjamin. Just a note, South Africa, they've got a net run rate of plus 0.742, West Indies minus 1.59. If the West Indies are to qualify, which is very tough, they'll have to make 378 runs in the next two matches, which is over 180 runs each, and reduce their opponents, Sri Lanka and Australia, with scores of 97 and 94. So that is a mountain to climb, gentlemen. So as it stands, the action continues for us on Thursday against Sri Lanka. And as the mighty Gabby says, Lord, send an answer for we. I'm Andrew Mason. He's open for a bird tomorrow. It's good night.